chapter 2 from verse 21. Before we read that, let's just pray to God. Lord God, we pray that as we open your word, that you open our hearts for the reading as well. We pray that we can take in what you have to say to us. We pray that Fred can explain this piece of scripture to us, Lord. We pray for his spirit, for your spirit to rest upon him, Lord. We just pray these things in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 2 from verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
We've just celebrated Christmas with great joy, and we've been singing with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to man on whom his favor rests. And indeed, the birth of the Messiah is one of the most glorious events of history. Finally, God has made his promise true that he would send a savior. So when Jesus was born, the kingdom of heaven made a great step forward. But at the same time, the glory the angels spoke of was in many ways hidden. The Son of God came in utter humility, just as a little vulnerable baby. And there was still a long way to go before the world would see his glory. And his ultimate glory would only come through great suffering. That is how it was destined for the Savior of the world. Now, if we would think suffering is for Christ and glory is for us Christians, we still have it wrong. The Bible is clear on this, that all those who follow Jesus will somehow share in his suffering. And in our text, it is the prophet Simeon who receives the task to make Joseph and Mary aware of these things. And in the first place, he confirms the glory of the child they have received. Through the Holy Spirit, that's what the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit, Simeon identifies this baby as being the Christ, the Messiah that had been promised to Israel. But at the same time, Simeon warns his parents, there's trouble ahead. There will be a lot of resistance against God's anointed one. His mother, Mary, will experience that as a sword piercing through her own soul. Our theme is, glory comes through suffering. When Jesus is about 6 weeks old, Joseph and Mary travel to Jerusalem to present their newborn son in the temple of the Lord. And as poor people, they bring a pair of doves for an offering as the law requires. But then when the ceremony is over, they are approached by a stranger. And he introduces himself as Simeon. And he asks if he can hold their baby for a moment. Now, all Luke tells about this man is that he was a righteous and devout man. Apparently, he was not a priest or a temple official. He was just an ordinary Israelite. But there was something special about him, though. He was righteous and devout. And that means he was a true believer who placed his full trust in the Lord. And he lived a life of dedication to the Lord and his coming kingdom. God had promised to his people that he would come for them. And Simeon believed it and waited for it. And therefore every day he prayed with all his heart, "Oh Lord, when is it going to happen? When will you fulfill your promise? It's been so long now. Your people is suffering. We experience your discipline. Our freedom has been taken away. But there is still not much repentance among your people. And many people have turned away from you to do their own things. So Lord, you do something. Because if you don't, nothing will ever happen. Oh Lord, come with your consolation." Simeon prayed and prayed incessantly. "Lord, Lord, comfort your people." Now take note, this prayer was not Simeon's personal hobby horse, as if he felt himself to be in great trouble and wanted to get out of that trouble and that he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, set me free." Nothing of that. It was the Holy Spirit who made him pray these things. Our text clearly says that. The Holy Spirit was on this man, Simeon. Now, can you see that it's only the Holy Spirit who makes use of people to promote the kingdom of God? If it were not for the Holy Spirit prompting people in that direction, no one would know what to pray for. People might pray, of course. People might pray for all kinds of needs, for personal needs, for family needs, for political needs, and say, "Oh Lord God, help us." But such prayer is not necessarily the prayer that God hears. It's not necessarily a spiritual prayer, because in every religion of the world you find that kind of prayers: "God help me with this," and "God help me with that." But a real prayer that God hears is a spiritual prayer, and that is a prayer where the Holy Spirit leads our spirit to pray for the things that matter in God's eyes. Now, what's the first thing then that God's children have to pray for? Now, you know that. You know what prayer the Lord Jesus taught his disciples. After the address, "Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," the first thing he teaches us to pray for is, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Friends, that is what matters in your life and in the life of the whole world. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And there's no human being who out of himself would pray for a thing like that. Because as people, we are way too much focused on our needs and on our desires, and like to call in God's assistance for achieving our own purposes. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit to make us focus on the things that matter to the Lord, and not so much on the things that are so important to us. There's a place for that as well. Don't get me wrong. But we have to be focused in our prayers about, Lord, it's about your kingdom. It's about your will be done. And help me to find my place in that. Simeon was full of it. And he had been so intensely praying about this all his life that the Holy Spirit had given him a special revelation. Keep praying, Simeon, for the consolation of Israel. For you, through your prayers, it will come indeed. And be encouraged. In your lifetime, you will see the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise. You will not die before you have seen the Lord's anointed one with your own eyes. Now, what a wonderful promise for faithful Simeon. And what a great encouragement for him to keep praying for the coming of the Messiah. Now, one day, Simeon feels especially urged to go to the temple. He simply knows that he has to be there. Who has placed this urge in his heart? Our text provides the answer. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And there he sees a young couple with a baby in their arms. And he knows straight away, this is the one. And at that moment, he realizes what God has prepared him for all those years of his life. He has to take this baby in his arms, and he has to publicly announce whom this child is. See, it wasn't for Simeon's personal comfort that the Holy Spirit had given him this promise that he would see the Messiah in his lifetime. Now, it's also for Joseph and Mary, who needed this encouragement. They needed to be strengthened in their faith about this baby Jesus. And we need it too. For us as readers of this story, it is a great encouragement to hear this. Listen to what Simeon is saying, and he is also saying it to us. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. We could say Simeon just acts like a justice of the peace. You know what a justice of the peace does? He is a kind of official witness who can testify to certain facts that are true and sure. And so Simeon confirms here officially and publicly that God fulfills his promises indeed. And he has fulfilled that promise in Jesus. It's a promise not only personally to Simeon, but also to the world. So it is Simeon's task to be a witness of God's faithfulness in bringing salvation. No matter how long you've waited for it, no matter how long the world has waited for it, Simeon tells God's faithful in his promise. Here is the proof. And that was his service in his life. He was God's servant, appointed to do this very specific task. So Simeon can say, my eyes have seen it now. And he hasn't only seen it for himself, he has seen it for us. And so he testifies for all generations to come. This is the one who was going to comfort God's people. And with God's people,
Simeon doesn't only think of the people of Israel, or perhaps he may have thought of the people of Israel, but through the Holy Spirit, we know that God, through him, was thinking of the whole world, also of us. See, the people of Israel were the first ones to know the Almighty God, the first ones to hear the gospel. But God had planned already to extend his kingdom to the whole world, way beyond Israel. And this young born child with the name of Jesus will be the light for the Gentiles. That's what it says. And out of thankfulness for what the Gentiles receive in Jesus, they will praise the God of Israel. And speaking about these things in the presence of Joseph and Mary, that is Simeon's service. He has spent his life praying for the coming of the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. And now that he has given his witness, he feels he can retire. He doesn't mind to die now. So he says, "Dismiss your servant in peace. I've done my work, and my eyes have seen your salvation. My task is fulfilled, and I have testified to it. Now take me to yourself, O Lord." Now we can learn from Simeon, congregation. We don't have to copy him. His task of pointing out the Messiah was unique. But what we can live from him is to live with a purpose, in full dependence on the Holy Spirit to lead us. Simon was focused in his life, and his mind was set on the coming of the kingdom. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he looked prayerfully forward to the coming of God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. It was always on his mind. And why was this so important? Well, only when God's kingdom comes, then his will be fully done. We live in a world full of disobedience against the holy God, and we ourselves are very much part of it. We know that we hurt the holy God by our sins, and that's why we look forward and prepare for the final coming of his kingdom in glory. Then all people will bow their knees for Jesus, and all the disobedient people will be removed from the earth. And only those who through grace and through faith in Jesus Christ have become part of God's people, they will remain on the earth forever to be obedient forever. And then God will receive glory from all the people who live on the earth. Now Simeon shares this perspective with the young parents, Joseph and Mary. Verse 33 says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Now we can understand that. They are excited anyway to bring their firstborn baby to the temple of the Lord, and then to hear these wonderful things about their baby. He is called God's salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, glory to the people of Israel. If such things are said about your child, it's no wonder that you marvel, that you beam as parents. But then, after Simeon has blessed the three of them, he has a special word for Mary. It's a word of warning. Not to spoil her joy of the moment, but rather to prepare her for the future. Nothing can take away the glory of this child. But for a long time, this glory will be hidden. And Mary has to brace herself for that. So Simeon says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Now the gospel of salvation is a wonderful message, but let no one think that it will conquer the world just like that. Let no one think that the glorious message of the coming kingdom of God will be received by many people. because sin is too deeply embedded in the hearts of people. And that's why people will take offense to the gospel, like in Israel. That's what happened. Initially, many people loved to listen to Jesus. How exciting to be witnesses of all these great miracles he is doing. And how wonderful his sharp criticisms of the leaders of the day. But when it came to the crunch, they stumbled over Jesus' teaching. They took offense. And they thought he was way too radical and impractical in his teaching. They remembered him saying things like, "Be perfect, like your heavenly Father is perfect." Or, "If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek as well." Now that's too ridiculous to take seriously. So this preaching of perfection, that must be dangerous fanaticism. And that's how almost the whole of Israel dismissed Jesus' teaching and preaching. They found his calling for a holy life before a holy God annoying. It made them upset. It made them feel, who is he that he can say these things to us? Stop him! Now, we all know where this rejection eventually led to. It led to crucify him. Friends, this is still true of the gospel today. Many people like to be religious one way or another. They don't mind going to church. And a few solid Christian morals is good to live by. Brings you a long way in this world. But then, when Jesus calls for a total surrender of your life, when he urges you to also break with your sacred indulgences and sins of your mind and heart, then people shrink back. Now, I am prepared to do certain things. I'm even willing to make a few sacrifices here and there. But don't ask me to follow Jesus radically, because I can't do it. And I don't want to do it either. See, that is the moment where the thoughts of your heart are revealed. Is life about yourself? Or is your life about serving God by following Jesus? The thoughts of your heart will be revealed when you're confronted with the gospel in its full sharpness. See, a call for total dedication, a call for absolute holiness in the sight of God makes us uncomfortable. It makes us resist. And who gets the blame? The man who brings the message. All the prophets in the Old Testament experienced it. Jesus, the greatest prophet of all, suffered under it. And he ended on a cross. And Simeon knew about these things. Probably he himself had experienced already rejection by people who thought that he was too fanatical in his prayers about the coming kingdom. Now we all have the task as Christians to proclaim the gospel to people around us. To come out with it that we are following the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly, and that's the only way to life. And that you can say to people, "Well, if you think differently, you may have a problem. Think again." Now, don't think that people are happy to hear that from you. Or they will that accept that straight away with joy. There's a lot of resistance in the human heart against the gospel. And that's why we have to put in a lot of prayer for the people that we like to be saved, that the Holy Spirit will break down the resistance in the heart of people so that it may come to see whom Jesus really is, submit to him, and follow him, and experience the joy of giving your own life away in order to receive this eternal life that he has for you. After what Mary had heard already and had believed about her son. She had great expectations of him, and quite rightly so. He was the Lord's Christ indeed, and Simeon had confirmed her in this conviction. But Mary will have her share of suffering too. Simeon puts it this way: a sword will pierce your own soul. Now that is what happens when you love. Mary loved Jesus. Mary loved the Lord for what he was doing through Jesus. And that is why the rejection of Jesus by his own people pierced Mary's soul. If we love our children, we will suffer when they do not walk in the way of the Lord. If we love our neighbor, we'll suffer if they reject Jesus. See, love and suffering will always be mates in this world, in this imperfect world. And with that, we return to the beginning. It's wonderful to celebrate Christmas. God's Messiah, born in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. But the ultimate glory doesn't come without suffering. Jesus experienced it. You will experience it. But don't forget, it is through suffering that the glory will finally be revealed. Don't shun it, but accept it. Suffering comes your way. Or, as Jesus once said, rejoice in your suffering, because then you know that the kingdom of heaven is yours indeed. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he was pointed out through Simeon as the one Israel and the world was waiting for. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes people aware of who you are and what you do and what we can expect for this life. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to get rid of ourselves. Help us to get rid of our zeal for this life in order to focus more and more on your kingdom and the joy that comes with it. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses wherever we are called to be your servant. Help us to overcome our reluctance to speak with warmth and love about our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Lord, continue to encourage us and to teach us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.